Betty Shaver. I was born as Betty Lou Hornbeck, my maiden name. And I was born in the Elmville Hospital. My parents at that time were living at Louse Corners here in Grahamsville. They moved from that building, that farm, in 1939. I was born in 38 because they came home from shopping. An eviction notice was nailed to the garage door. And the city evicted them. And it took 2 years for them to get their money. And they had a time limit to be removed from the property. And then they went up over the hill to another farmer that was walking distance from that farm. And he luckily was ready to sell. It was him and his wife. And my father bought that farm. So that farm property adjoined it, some of the farm property that my dad already owned, where the city evicted them. And so the city didn't take the whole amount of acreage. The other acreage that wasn't going to be a problem for the reservoir was that could remain holding, and he added it to the farm that he bought. So in the end, he had 300 acres. That farmer took no money. Is that amazing? He said to Ralph, as my dad, Ralph Hornbeck, as you get the money, whatever you give it to me. I understand what you're in. And my dad gave him maybe $1,000, whatever he had accumulated. I mean, we were poor, we were farmers. We didn't have it. And then as he got paid off, he gave him the balance, and that was it. I think the whole farm was like $3,000. At that time, in 38, this happened. 35. And if I remember correctly, they had only been there, owned that property, for maybe 5 or 6 years before this happened to them.
Okay. And how old were you when this happened?
I was born in 38, and they moved out in 39. 39. I was 1 year
okay.
old.
Yeah. Okay, you were one. Okay, so they were in their 30s. Yeah, so they were still young, and they were able to take on a larger acreage.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in the end, do you think it turned out okay for them? You know, obviously it was a shock.
Well, yeah, it was okay. What are you going to do? You move on.
Yeah.
That's how life is in those days. You're happy to have a house to live in.
Yeah,
so my mom and dad moved from the place where the city evicted them to this other farm, and we lived from the land. We had a team of horses. Dad milked 12 cows. We raised our own heifers from the cows freshening, and the veal calves were sold, and that helped pay the taxes. And because we had so much property, later in life, when taxes started going up more and more, occasionally Dad would sell a load or two of logs, and that's what paid the taxes. But my dad never worked, no place, only on the farm.
And it was enough to support the whole family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how much did you have to do with the land to, you know, have the cows? Like, you had enough area so that you didn't.
You had to mow the field, the meadows.
You did mow.
Well, you had to for the hay for the winter time, because these animals eat all winter.
Right. So you harvested your own hay.
Yeah.
And that was enough for your own cows.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And we had two gardens. We had a garden that was just for canning and preserving for the winter, and the other garden down by the house was for to eating out of every day. For our living. But the rest, I can remember picking beans or peas or whatever by the water pail full.
But
digging carrots by the pail full.
But you didn't sell the vegetables, did
no,
you?
No. Yeah, they were for us to survive.
Yeah. And so milk was the product that you were selling from your farm.
The milk was the only product we were selling.
And how did that happen? Like, was there a processor that...
We sold to the Derriman's Lake Creamery.
Okay.
And 4 milk cans, 2 in the morning, 2 at night, out of 12 cows, which was pretty good. And Dad would always have them freshened. Freshened means dropping a young calf in the month of May, April, May. And so then they had all the green grass, and they would produce a lot of milk through the summer. So that's how we survived. And he would take it down to the bottom of the 55, and the milk truck would come and pick them up. And that's where I sat mornings and waited for the school bus. On the milk stand.
Now, where was your school?
Tri-Valley.
It was already...
Tri-Valley was only a 2-room schoolhouse.
Oh, okay.
when I went there. And my sister Var, because she went into high school and graduated, had to go to Ellenville from Grahamsville.
Yeah.
And that's amazing.
Yeah, I remember
it?
The same.
Yeah.
Over on the other side, they would go to Kingston.
Yeah, and my mom made butter and the cottage cheese and, you know, everything that you could make from, you know, from the dairy and from the land. You had all the vegetables. Mm. And they were good farmers. You had to be a good farmer or you didn't survive. Potatoes, squash, you know, carrots, everything.
It's a lot of processing, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Canning. We didn't have a freezer.
Did you have a root cellar?
At the cellar under that in the house, in the basement. No furnace, of course, so the cellar was the proper place for all the potatoes, the cabbage, apples, everything to be stored.
Were you were helping with those chores when you were little?
Oh, sure. Like, the family worked together.
Yeah.
I didn't sit and read a book. We did it all.
And how long did your parents keep that farm? How did you go?
It's still in the family today.
Is it a functioning farm right now?
No, it's not functioning. I have a horse there. There's a steer there. There's sheep there. It's not, you know, my nephew Adam lives there.
Oh, he went to school with my daughter Chantal.
Yeah, my nephew has it.
I think it's Chantal.
Okay. You know, like your parents had this functioning farm, selling milk, harvesting vegetables for the family. How long did that lifestyle last?
Until I moved out. Until I moved out and when I got married. And my mom and dad still continued that lifestyle. But they only then had one or two cows for what they needed. They didn't sell milk no more because they were older. They couldn't physically take care of them, you know. But they never sold it. They kept it and they had a few cows for their own milk and whatever.
Okay. And how about, did the tax go up over the years?
Oh, sure, sure.
So how did...
They sold logs.
Okay. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember, like, your parents' conversation at that time? This is getting a little difficult?
No, never, or? Never.
Oh.
Never. Never heard nothing, no problems. It was always happy. We always had everything we needed. You know?
Wow.
And they never sold the farm. They died there. They passed away there.
Mm.
Yeah. I never heard nothing. There was never a problem. We always had enough. But we worked hard.
Right.
And Dad was very smart about selling the logs. We had a lot of oak. Mm. The money was high on oak.
Yeah.
There's oak there yet today.
Wow.
When I left, I got married. And I married a farmer. And we lived in Beaver Kill and we milked 50 Holsteins. We had a big farm. 300 acres we had. Horses. I boarded horses for the rich and the famous. I met Irving Berlin.
Uh-huh.
I had many rich people. Lazar Kaplan, who cut the Hope Diamond.
Yes, well, his grandson is married to my niece.
Is that right? And I used to cut his wife's hair, Charlotte.
Oh, my goodness.
And when he needed an extra calf or something, he'd come up to our barn and get it. He was like
neighbor. They just sold the inn recently. John.
Lazar was a very good neighbor to us.
Wow. That's right next to the Berlin.
And all of the
Stater.
Family never wore jewelry.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And I'll never forget the weekend I went there for whatever reason. And he said to me, Betty, I'm so happy today. And I went, oh, yeah, Lazar, why? What's going on? My grandson cut his first diamond.
Oh.
This weekend.
Wow.
There in the studio, in the basement.
In the studio. Wow.
Yeah. And I didn't think nothing of them as neighbors. You know?
Yeah.
Mrs. Marks, I don't know if you ever knew her or not, but she was my neighbor. And yeah. And they had a mile racetrack behind their house.
Oh, my God.
Beaver Kill was full of wealthy people.
Yeah, it always was.
Always was and still is.
That's interesting. I know it still is. I know.
And yet we was nestled in there in 300 acres of the farm. Because on my shop door, I was a florist for 23 years, where I live now. And I have an old little slate, about 10 by 12. And onto it, I say, enjoy the art of living. And that stays there. Because the art of living, you don't need any money. just enjoy what you have. People don't know enough to enjoy what they have. You know? Simple things. Simple things. They want more. They get lost in wanting more. So just enjoy the art of living. You know, some homemade cookies or sharing friendship. Doesn't mm-hmm. cost any money. Just enjoy life. That's it.